The reading this morning is from Genesis 15, verses 17 through 21. Genesis 15, 17 through 21, and I will be reading from the English Standard Version. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites."
Good to be here this morning. Dan said that was the worst reading ever. I was thinking that was impressive. Did a fine job with those difficult Old Testament words. There's a saying that's become very popular with regard to things that we emphasize in life. It warns us about majoring in things that are minor and minoring in things that are major. And it is used, of course, because there are so many people who devalue things in life that are very significant. And it seems like they overemphasize things that aren't all that important. Like you might have someone who is a fanatic about their favorite sport team. And they just go on and on about that obviously is something they emphasize in their life. And yet the same person struggles to make it to the job every day on time, even risking being fired from his job and putting the welfare of his family in danger. He majors in something that's minor, but he minors in something that's major. And so we see a lot of that going on today. And sometimes, even in the spiritual realm, we see that people are majoring in the minors. I know there have been times, for an example, that brethren have divided or split, or at least there's been a lot of hostilities over a church building. I've heard in times past of congregations who have divided because of the color of the carpet. Particularly when there's going to be some remodeling or even have a new building built. They divide over something like that, the color of the paint on the walls and that sort of thing. And sometimes maybe there's not a division, but people get so upset that they even stop talking to each other. And so they major in something that is minor, the color of the carpet, but they forget what the Bible teaches about letting brotherly love continue and the importance of loving one another. They minor in that. And so for just a little while, we want to talk about this idea of majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors. And whenever we think about this, there's two approaches to it. There's the non-doctrinal side of this and the doctrinal side of it. With regard to the non-doctrinal side of this, we're talking about the minors involve things that God has not legislated. They're things, in other words, that are outside of the doctrine of Christ. They basically involve things that are a matter of judgment and a matter of opinion. And there are some times that brethren get involved in a lot of hostility over that. With regard to those kind of things, the people of God should never divide. When it comes down to personal judgment and matters of opinion, the brethren should never fight and bicker over those kinds of things. And yet we find that that is not always the case. You know, everybody always wants to throw everything under the umbrella of Romans chapter 14. Well, This is something that actually goes into that particular chapter. Romans 14 is a wonderful chapter. It is a wonderful teaching in the Bible that teaches us that we can get along even though we disagree on certain things. We can still be at peace and have peace whenever it is called for. And you might think, well, what do you say that? Isn't peace always called for? Shouldn't we always have peace? Well, yes, but the fact of the matter is sometimes circumstances arise that just won't allow for that. You might remember Paul when he wrote to the brethren at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11 at verse 18 and 19. He said, "For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized." The word faction there means a party or disunity. Unity, to have disunion. And the fact of the matter is that with regard to Corinth, they were abusing the Lord's Supper. And that's what Paul is dealing with in this particular passage. But the truth is, because some brethren are going to misbehave and some brethren are going to teach sometimes false doctrine, sometimes there has to be division so that those who generally stand for the truth will be recognized. And at the same time, Paul said, you might recall, in another place, if it be possible, live peaceably among all men. And I'll tell you one time when that's applicable, it's when we have a difference of opinion on a particular thing. When we see something different, but it's simply a matter of judgment. We can be at peace. We can live peaceably when it comes down to those kind of things. Romans chapter 14, again, teaches us how to do that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans the 14th chapter and notice just a bit here. Romans chapter 14, and beginning at verse 1, this is what Paul says about these kind of matters. Romans 14, and at verse 1, Paul says, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions." Now listen, in order to get this truth and really apply it, you have to understand and recognize one thing. Your opinion isn't all that important. And neither is mine. That's hard for some people to grasp. Too many times we think our opinion is all that really matters. Our judgment is always the best. And so everybody ought to see things exactly the way I do. And my opinion ought to be the one that is followed. Because sometimes that we allow our ego to become a little bit too inflated. And We need to recognize that that is a position of pride. My opinion isn't, especially in the bigger picture. In God's overall scheme of things, my opinion means nothing. Now, sometimes we understand that whatever it is that we have an opinion about might be very important to me. But in the overall scheme of things, it's just an opinion. And so Paul says, you receive this one who is weak. Now, let me say something else about this before we read on. This person who is weak in faith, in this context, he's just talking basically about eating meat. So here is a fellow who perhaps maybe a Gentile, who all his life he ate meat that had been offered in sacrifice to an idol. So now he's a Christian, but he can't do that without thinking about the idol. And so he believes in his heart it's wrong to eat that meat. Keep in mind, in those days, you couldn't buy a piece of meat from the market that had probably been from an animal used in a sacrifice to a false god. So this fellow's thinking, you know, I used to do all of that. I used to worship a false god and with these sacrifices and eat the meat at the same time. Can't do that anymore. Well, the truth is, it really, as long as you weren't thinking about the false god when you ate that meat, it's okay. He didn't realize that. So in that one area, he would be weak. You can even make an application of this to a Jew. You remember in the Old Testament, the Jews had certain dietary restrictions. So maybe it's a Jew who is thinking, even under the law of Christ, that there's certain meat that he can't eat. Well, he'd be wrong about that. It doesn't mean that he is just totally immature from a spiritual standpoint, and he's just a weak and feeble Christian. Doesn't mean that at all. He's just weak in faith when it comes down to this. And the truth is, we're all weak in some areas and stronger in other areas. But the bottom line here, because this is dealing with an opinion, Paul says this, one person believes he may eat anything while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let the one who eats not, or let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. Why? For God has welcomed him. Now that tells us right away, Paul's not dealing with a doctrinal issue. Because no matter what position you take in this particular subject, it doesn't matter to God. God cares a whole lot about a whole lot of things. But whether or not you eat meat, he could care less. He welcomes the one who abstains. But he also welcomes the one who eats. And so Paul says in verse 4, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? In our vernacular, we would say, who do you think you are? And the person who passes judgment, again, in an area like this, like eating meat, it's just because he's thinking too highly of himself in his own opinion. Who do you think you are? He says it is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live unto the Lord, and if we die, we die unto the Lord. So then, he says, with all of that in mind, he says, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Like, that's who I belong to, not you. You don't belong to me. And because of that, when it comes down to matters of opinion, I shouldn't judge you. We shouldn't fight and bicker over that. We certainly should never divide as a local church or even allow hostilities to persist in the local church over these kinds of things. At verse 9, he says, to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. You want to know when you can press your opinion upon me? It's right after you die for me and are raised from the dead by the power of God. Then your opinion matters. Until then, it doesn't matter very much in the overall scheme of things. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or you? Why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. And so when it comes down to our matters of opinion, don't major in those things that are just judgment. Don't find yourself majoring in that, in minoring and the relationship that we have one with another in Christ. One of the things that Paul emphasizes in this overall context, why is it? Say, you're this strong brother. You realize you can eat meat. Why don't you just press that upon the weak brother? Or you just take the position, he's just weak. So I'm going to eat right in the midst of him. It doesn't, and he'll see me eating, and I'll be teaching him it's okay to eat, and then he'll eat. Yes, but when he eats, you know what he might be doing? Violating his conscience. And that's why Paul, in this very context, did you get it? When he said how it is that we are to eat, verse 5, he says, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. That's important. Because even if something is a matter of opinion, if you do that thing, whatever it is that you believe is wrong, even though there's no legislation, even though God hasn't set forth a law on it, if you think it's wrong and you do it anyway, you have sinned by violating your conscience. Now, what you don't want to be is the strong brother who causes that brother to do that. Because you have the attitude, I'm right, he's wrong, and so he's just going to have to live with it, and you end up causing him to stumble because he follows your example and violates his conscience. You don't want to be like that. If so, you are majoring in a minor, minoring in a major. You have to be careful about that. And there's issues that fall into this category that sometimes brethren fight and bicker about. The head covering would be the putting up a Christmas tree. There's some brethren who think it's wrong to put up a Christmas tree. After all, we don't observe the birthday of Christ. And okay, well, do we have to fight and bicker over that? No. However you feel. You feel like you can, put it up. You don't, then don't do it. But listen, if you're the one who puts up a Christmas tree and you know that I oppose it, which I don't, but let's just say I did. If I oppose it, don't invite me over to your house with that big old Christmas tree sitting right there in the middle. You've got love demands that we consider one another. What we don't do is fight and bicker over things that don't matter. I believe it's okay to be a police officer, go into the military. Well, I don't think it is. It matters. God's never set forth legislation on that. Don't fight and bicker over that. Learn from Romans chapter 14. We don't have to major in minors and minor in majors. In this case, the minor things would be our own opinion in judgment. The major thing would be our relationships that we have in Christ Jesus. We ought to major in that. And protect that relationship and protect the souls of others. And when it comes down to our own opinion, we should recognize that's just a minor. And then just even when we look at this in a broad view, there are things that we just have to keep in perspective. Well, we have to understand really what is major and what is minor. Let me tell you what's major in life. I'll just sum it up for you this morning. This is what is major. Anything that affects your relationship with God is major. Anything, number two, that's going to determine the salvation of your soul or the salvation of the souls of other people, that's major. Everything else is minor. Now, there's a whole lot of things that you can fit into that category. Your relationship with God, the salvation of souls. But there's a whole lot of stuff that doesn't. That we end up allowing to have a negative impact upon our lives. That it's unnecessary. But they impact our lives because we find ourselves majoring in minor things. Finances. You got to keep that in perspective. There's people, their whole lives are dictated and determined by how much money they have and what their financial status is. That, in the overall scheme of things, that's just minor. You have to keep it in perspective. Jesus, you remember in the Sermon on the mount. In chapter 6, verse 19, he said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And where your heart is, that will impact your relationship with God. So that's major. So you have to be careful. Your finances, money, mammon, that's all minor. But it can become major if you abuse it. And you don't keep it in perspective. There's a lot of things that are the condition of this world. That's minor. You think, really? Do you believe that? That the condition of the world is minor? Yeah, in the overall scheme of things. This world is a mess. It has always been a mess. It will always be a mess. As long as the devil is alive, as long as sin is present, this world is going to be a mess. But don't let the condition of this world dictate how you're going to live your lives and what kind of attitude you're going to live your life with. Because then you're making a major thing out of something that really is minor. You know how much time, how many hours sleep I lose over global warming? Not a second. I don't lose any sleep this particular season over who the next president is going to be. I don't sit up and wonder if there's going to be a civil war here in the near future in this divided country. I don't worry about any of that. The condition of this world is a mess. And guess what? If the Lord doesn't come back 10 years from now, it's still going to be a mess. And 20 years from now, if he doesn't come back, it's still going to be a mess. It's been a mess almost from the beginning, ever since sin entered into the world. So I'm not going to allow the world to dictate whether I'm depressed or whether I'm happy or whether I'm filled with anxiety or whether I walk around in anger. I'm not going to allow that to happen. If I do, it's just because I'm majoring in a minor. And we have to be careful about that. We have to keep everything in perspective. You remember in the parable that Jesus gave the sowing the seed with regard to the thorny soil. He says, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world. You know who the cares of the world affect? It's those who are majoring in a minor. Who care too much about money and what money can buy. Who care too much about the condition of the world. Listen, I'm not saying you should do everything you can to make this world a better place. But at the end of the day, you don't allow this world to overwhelm you. Because the cares of this world, and listen to it, the deceitfulness of riches will choke the word right out and make you unfruitful. You have to keep these things in proper perspective because, again, in the overall scheme of things, they're minor. Don't affect your, whatever condition the world is in doesn't affect your soul directly, your relationship with God. You can be saved, you can be right with God in any condition that this world finds itself in. And that's what you should be looking at and concerned at. And here's another thing about the world. When you find yourself in this condition where the cares of the world becoming overwhelming or the deceitfulness of riches dominating your life, that's probably because you have fallen in love with the world. It's become major in your life. And we all remember what John said, don't we? In 1 John 2 at verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father. You know what that is? Major. Has to do with your relationship with God. It affects your soul. It's major. The world is minor. But he says, all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. That's major. The will of God, living your life, making up in your mind, you're going to do, you're going to live by the will of God. That's a major thing. If you do that, you can overcome all the minor things of life. Even the important, some things are very important. We might put in the category of being minor, doesn't mean they're insignificant and unimportant. They may have some importance, but we can't treat them like they're on the same level as the will of God, and pleasing Him, doing His will. All right, well, let's look at this from a doctrinal standpoint. The doctrinal side of this. Now, this is what happens when sometimes people take this popular saying, well, you're majoring in minors and you're minoring in major, and they use it carelessly. And what they usually do is they use it from a doctrinal standpoint and say, well, now, all of this over here, these doctrines, these are major doctrines that we have to be concerned with. These doctrines over here, they're minor. And sometimes we're accused in churches of Christ. You all, you major in minors all the time. You're always talking about these doctrines that don't matter. Listen to me. There is no such thing as a doctrine that doesn't matter. It doesn't exist. All doctrine is important. Every single doctrine that comes from the mind of God is a major. You can't minor in a, you can minor, but you can't, you shouldn't conclude that those major things are just minors. There is no such thing. All doctrine is significant. Let's not use that saying to justify doing unscriptural things, practicing unscriptural things, and then just saying, oh, they're just minor. And you know, some people think, Don, you sound like a Pharisee when you use that language. You know what my response is? You sound like a Pharisee when you refute what I've just said. And that's not a childish tit for tat. Like, oh, I call you childish, Don, now you call me childish. No, that's not that. Here's the truth. If you refute the idea that you're being like a Pharisee for saying all doctrine matters, you can't back that up with Scripture. Like, where's the passage in the Bible that where the Pharisees were ever condemned for saying all doctrine matters? There is no passage. But I can show you a passage where the Pharisees, they had a problem with devaluing certain doctrines, certain laws that were a part of Judaism. They just viewed them as minor. You remember Matthew chapter 23 and the 23rd chapter of Matthew, verse 23. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Here was the real problem with the Pharisees. They picked and chose what doctrines they would keep and which ones they considered were unimportant. And as a result of that, God viewed them, Jesus viewed them as failing to keep the law. Earlier on in this very chapter, in Matthew 23 at verse 1, it says, and Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach and do not practice. This is a perfect place where the scriptures interpret themselves. Someone might think, well, what do you mean, Jesus, they do not practice? You just had a passage on the board that showed us that the Pharisees were tithing. They were keeping the law to tithe. What do you mean they don't practice? Yeah, they were keeping the tithing law. But there were other aspects of the law, like mercy and faithfulness, those things, justice, that they just put aside. And in doing that, they were guilty of not keeping the law. They were viewed by Jesus as not practicing the law. Why? Because there isn't any doctrine that's unimportant. And in fact, you remember James, in James chapter 2 at verse 10, he says, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all. That's not Don Wright's opinion. That's what James, by inspiration of the Spirit, wrote. You violate one. There's one single law that you put aside and say, oh, that's minor, and I'm not going to major in that minor. You're acting like a Pharisee. And you have violated the whole law. Even though we're under a different law today, the gospel, it's the same thing. There's not one aspect of the gospel that you can put aside and say, I'm not going to do that. We have to keep all of the law. Look, turn over just quickly to Matthew chapter 17. Or Matthew chapter 5, I'm sorry. We'll begin at verse 17. Matthew chapter 5 at verse 17. This is what Jesus wrote. And we keep in mind that Jesus, they were still under the old law at this particular time. But Matthew chapter 5 and at verse 17. It says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law. Now, that's not a good translation there in the ESV. It's one of its weak spots. The word should be destroy. The fact is, Jesus came to abolish the law. Ephesians chapter 2. That's exactly what he did. So, just a bad translation. Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. What is the attitude that God wants us to have? Not, oh, these things over here, these are just little things, minor things, they're least. No. He wants us to keep the whole law. He wants us to obey every command. Look at verse 20. I tell you, unless your righteousness, he's talking there about the doing of righteousness, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What was their righteousness? They would pick and choose. That was their problem. We can't do that. And let me just say this about the picking and choosing. When you get to the point where you think that some of the doctrine of Christ is minor and other parts of the doctrine of Christ is major, now you're left with a dilemma. Because now you have to decide what is major and what is minor. Now we're left up to human judgment to determine that. Inevitably, when man tries to decide what is major and what is minor, so far as the doctrine of Christ is concerned, he's always going to get it wrong. Most of the time, anyway. And did you notice? The Pharisees did. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 23 again, at verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin. Why'd they do that? They thought it was major. Yeah, some other things. But now watch, the things like justice and mercy and faithfulness, they weren't doing that. They neglected that because, oh, that's minor. So it's not right to take any aspect of the doctrine of Christ and put it aside and not keep it. That's going to be wrong no matter what. But in this case, they took the things that were major and called them minor, or at least in their mind, they thought of them as being minor. And they took something that was less weighty than these other things, justice, mercy, and faithfulness, and they made it a major thing. It's almost like denominational churches do today. on this very subject. You know, denominational churches, there are a lot of churches. I know this for a fact. I know people who are in denominational churches who have told me they didn't care. They don't care if you are faithful in attending their services. They care less as long as you send in the check. That's major. Tithing is major. I knew a fella who was approached by a so-called pastor and he rebuked him for not tithing, and he wasn't even a member. He was just visiting. Why do that? Because they make tithing a major thing. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth, that's minor. Oh, I don't talk about all of that. You're legalistic to talk about those. You're like the Pharisee to talk about those kind of things. They're minor. But tithing, you know, the money coming in, that's major. Well, that's not unlike the Pharisees. Exactly what they were doing. They were tithing. Tithing these various things. The law said they should. They were keeping that aspect of the law. But these other things that were also a part of the law, they just ignored. Because that's what happened. That's what happens when we just leave it up to man to decide and conclude, well, these things are more important than... Listen, there's no doubt that when it comes down to the doctrine of Christ, that there are more weighty laws and some are less weighty compared to them, but none of them are minor. Like, I think you'd all agree with me. Murder is a sin that certainly would be more weighty than lying, right? I mean, who wouldn't agree with that? But don't you think that lying is minor? It's a part of the doctrine of Christ. It's major. It's less weighty than murder, but it's still weighty. It's weighty because it will have an impact upon your soul. It's less weighty than murder because of the effect that it has on people around you, but it will still cause you to lose your soul. You remember Revelation 21 at verse 8, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and what? And all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. He's describing Gehenna, eternal damnation in hell. All liars will have their part in that place. You're going to call that minor? And yet there's people that talk, well, that's just a little white lie. It's not a big deal. Everything that God says, everything that he promotes, every doctrine that comes out of his mind, every word that he speaks is important. Don't start throwing around this idea when it comes to doctrine. Well, this doctrine is major and that doctrine is minor. That's to use that saying carelessly. There's ways in which we can do that, non-doctrinal issues. When it comes down to the doctrine of Christ, let's set it in our mind firmly. I have to do everything that God commands me to do. Yes, if I fall short because of the mercy of God, there's a way for me to get back in favor with him. That's the power of the blood of Christ. I need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. But at the end of the day, my attitude has to be everything is important. Everything God commands is a duty that I must live by and keep in my life. Majoring in minors. When it comes down to non-doctrinal things, let's make sure we're not fighting and bickering over things that are outside of the doctrine of Christ and respect each other's opinions and judgments. And yours doesn't have to be mine. My opinion doesn't have to be the one that counts. We can get along even when we disagree. But when it comes down to doctrinal things, we should all be together and have the same mind and the same judgment. And we should be keeping every commandment that God has set forth. If you're not doing that, maybe you haven't even obeyed the gospel of Christ. Why not do something about that? Remember, the major things in life have to do with your relationship with God and the salvation of your soul. There's absolutely nothing more important than that. Even this morning, if you sit there and you're unprepared to meet God, Do something about that. Make that major, a major thing in your life. And obey the gospel of Christ. Repent of your sins and be baptized, Acts 2 at verse 38. If you're a child of God, you haven't been living right, do something about that. This is major. Repent and ask God for forgiveness, Acts 2 at verse 22. God's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Don't leave this building in an undone condition. It's too dangerous. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. This might be the last day you live. I'm not trying to be dramatic with that. There's a lot of people, listen, there's a lot of people on this earth right now who won't see the sun go down. They don't know it. They wouldn't dream that it's going to be the case. But it's going to be the case with some people. It might be the case with you. It might be the case with me. Let's do what we can to be right with God. Let's do it right now as we together stand and sing.